This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
We continue, inshallah, for a shorter period until shuruq, inshallah, explaining chapter Noon wal-qalami wama yasturun. It is the first chapter revealed in the Quran with that beginning, Noon, the letters. One or the first chapter revealed with the letters, Noon. Later on, the other letters were revealed, or the other chapters with the other letters were revealed. And the scholars, the ikhwa of tafsir, greatly agree on that chapter being number 3 in the number of the chapters revealed in the Quran after Al-Alaq or Iqra and Al-Muddathir, Surah Al-Muddathir. Then comes in chapter Noon wal-qalami wama yasturun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we mentioned in the previous setting, taken an oath by two things, the pen, and the scholars explain the pen here, qalam, the first pen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, with which he wrote the aqdar, the predestination of everything, or the pens which are in the hands of the angels who write that which we do. We know that each one of us has an angel to his right and an angel to his left, and they do record the things which we do, whether good or bad. Or the third meaning is the pens which we use in writing, one of the three. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath on the pen and that which they write with in order to defend his messenger. We know that one of the first insults the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam received from the people in Quraysh is being accused of being crazy. That is why Noon wal-qalami wa ma yasturun, ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. You are not crazy, like they say about you. The second thing is, be patient, because what you're going through will be a source of hasanat for you, a source of reward for you. Wa inna laka la ajran ghayra mamnun. And you will receive an interrupted reward for the da'wah that you're giving. We know, ya ikhwa, that each one of us in the Day of Judgment will be on the scale, or in the scale of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, you, if you give da'wah to anybody, whatever they do, you receive the same reward like them without them losing the reward. The meaning, وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ, you will be receiving an interrupted reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everyone who gets guided through you. Then comes in number three, item which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath on two things in order to establish three things. He's not crazy, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Two, he will receive an interrupted reward for his da'wah. Three, which is the best of them all, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You have the best of characters. You have an excellent character. And we stopped yesterday with this particular verse. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him, فَسَتُبْصِرُوا وَيُبْصِرُونَ. You will see and they will see. Of course, we said that this allegation or the accusation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being crazy was one of the initial things that the kuffar, the disbelievers of Quraysh said about him. So it was at the very beginning of his da'wah. So Allah is telling him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be patient, only few years, they will find out who is the crazy. فَسَتُبْصِرُوا وَيُبْصِرُونَ بِأَيِّكُمُ الْمَفْتُونَ. Which of you is being afflicted or inflected with that accusation which they attribute to you? You will find out. And it happened, subhanAllah, like in a very short period of time. You know, just 12, 13 years later, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was made victorious over them. But remember this, it doesn't matter what people say about you. It matters who you are in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah is telling him, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. Your Lord knows who is guided and who is misguided. As if he's telling him who you are in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what matters to you. It doesn't matter, it shouldn't get to you that people consider you to be misguided, because that's what they used to say even to the people who would accept the message. They used to tell them asaba'ta. Asaba'ta meaning what? You disbelieved. You're no longer on our deen. That you're following the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that means you are a disbeliever. So he's telling him, inna rabbaka huwa a'lamu biman dalla an sabilihi wa huwa a'lamu bil muhtadin. Fala tuti'il mukadhibin. Obey not the deniers until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sort out the good from the bad, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you victory. Here is the attitude of the Muslims as they go through that trial period. Here is what you need to do. Don't obey the deniers. فَلَا تُطِعِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Brothers in Islam, the disbelievers, the people who do not believe in what you believe in, they will never be pleased with you. Period. They will never be pleased with you. Shuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the Jews and the Christians. وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. The Jews and the Christians, they will never be pleased with you unless you leave your religion and follow their way. This is not an invitation to resent them at all. No, I'm actually going to give you four things here, which is related to interacting with people, whether they are Muslims or whether they are not Muslims. But in general, this is what you have to establish yourself in. They are not. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding the kuffar, what did he say? وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَاءً. The kuffar, they would love for you to disbelieve like them, so you're what? وَلَا يَزَالُ. الْوَدْ هُنَا is the wish of the heart. وَدُّ, that they would wish with their hearts. لَا, they would actually translate this into actions. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ إِنِ اسْتَطَاعُوا. They will actually fight you to bring you back from Islam and to leave your religion. This is something that you have to settle on. Again, this is not an invitation to... We always in Islam differentiate between maqam al-da'wah wa maqam al-jihad. The position of giving da'wah and the position of jihad, which is a battlefield. Yesterday in the hotel before Islam came to pick me up, so I went down to get some coffee in my way here. So I found a very old man sitting in the lobby of the hotel. So of course I look like a Muslim. So he immediately asked me, are you supposed to kill the infidels? That's how the conversation started. You know, that tells you. You know, that. I said, yeah, but in the battlefield, in a declared war. You know, like the soldiers who get enrolled in the U.S. Army and the Marine and the Air Force, they take them to training camps. What they teach them, love tactics? What they teach them? They war tactics. And I explained to him, Islam is a lifestyle that structure your behavior, even in a battlefield, in a bathroom. Islam teaches you how to go to the bathroom. Islam teaches you how to be with your wife in that intimate relationship. Also, Islam teaches you how to confront your enemy in the battlefield. And I reference to him the rules of engagement that the Geneva, whatever called Geneva Convention or something, came up with. This is totally Islamic. That you should not kill people who are not fighting you. You should not kill women, children. You should not kill animals. You should not take down trees that are not used as benefit to your enemy in the battlefield. I told him that's how Islam. And if you read the Old Testament, it's like that. So when I say to you now that, listen, this is how the non-Muslims feel about you and me, in no way I'm asking you to go and do something wrong. No, I'm just letting you know that this is how they feel about you Muslims. So don't expect them to serve your deen, to appease you. They will never do this. They will never do this because this is their attitude. So consequently, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. شوف, look at this. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. They would love for you to do what? Duhn. You know what duhn is? You know what the duhn is? You know the duhn is, right? The duhn is the fat that comes out of what? Of the animal, which is used in these moisturizer that you do like this, right? So you end up what? With the skin what? You know, soften. So they would love for you what? To soften with them. What do law to dhin? They would, if you soften, they would love to soften. Another duhn is iddihan. Iddihan is the paint. The paint that you do what? Cover the wall with. So they would love for you to cover the truth that you have with the falsehood. That's another meaning of iddihan. But in any rate, there are four terminologies out there, and I think it's worthy of knowing about them. The first one is called al-mawadda. The second one is called al-musahaba. The third one is called al-mu'ayasha. The fourth one is called al-mudahana. These are Arabic words. I'll give the best translation here. Al-mawadda is the love of the heart. I'm talking about your interaction with other people, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims, Christian or Jews. The first thing is al-mawadda. What is al-mawadda? The love of the heart. No one is entitled to your love that is in the heart except the believers. Except the believers. And if your heart loves others than the believers, rest assured there is something wrong with your heart. There is something wrong with your aqidah, with your belief system. If you understand how love works in Islam, you will know what I'm talking about. I'm going to make it very simple for you. Islam is out there. We love with our limb, right? With our heart. The limb with which we love is what? The heart, right? You love with your heart. The love is in the heart. The container of the feelings, the emotions, right, is the heart. Now, you're going to say this guy is crazy here. My heart, I want you to love Islam. Can I do that? Can I do that? Is that how love works? No. Love is something that Allah places in your heart towards somebody. And this is the answer which the Prophet ﷺ given to Aisha when she expressed her jealousy about Khadija. Khadija is dead. Aisha is telling the Prophet ﷺ, why do you still talk about her? Why do you still express that love for her when she is dead? And Allah replaced her with these wives that you have. He said, her love was placed in my heart. I can't help it. I can't help it. And this is meant also, or this is understood from the hadith, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا نَادَى جِبْرِيلٍ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, He will call upon Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, O Jibreel, I love so and so, love him. Jibreel will call upon the dwellers in Malaika, the dwellers of the heavens, the dwellers of the heavens, هم الملائكة. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا, Allah loves so, the son of so, love him. Look at this. ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then the love of that person will be placed in the hearts of people. Now, do you think Allah, here it is, will direct your heart to love someone who disbelieves in Allah? I'm asking you. No way. This is why, look at it. لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله. You will never find someone who believes, who truly believes in Allah and the hereafter, love someone who disbelieves in Allah and the hereafter. Disbelieves in Allah and His Messenger. Even if they are relatives. وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتُهُمْ. No way. The heart. So, the first term here, الْمَوَدَّةِ, the love of the heart. I'm not talking about الْبِرْ. I'm not talking about that. You still need to treat people with justice and respect as long as they are not combatant. But you have no control over your heart. I can't help it. I can't help it. But listen. ولذلك جاء القرآن ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا. Do not let the resentment which you have in your heart towards somebody invites you to commit injustice against them. I have to deal with justice with people. Al-Bir, as long as the person is not combatant, he is not fighting me, he's not in a battlefield, I still have to deal with him with justice. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين أو يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. Allah does not ban you. Allah did not forbid you from treating those who did not fight you, did not expel you from your homes, did not give you trouble, to treat them with birr, meaning acting in love and so on. So the first one is called al-mawadda. The only one who is entitled to this is who? The believers. The second one called al-musahaba. What is al-musahaba? من الوقت صاحب. Who is entitled to this? Someone who is not a Muslim but is a relative. You have to give them companionship. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. And do what? وَصَاحِبْهُمَا. Your parents are not Muslims. And not only this, they are doing mujahada, they are playing tricks in you, or they are striving to get you to commit shirk. Obey them not. But because they are your parents, they are entitled to certain rights upon you, they deserve al-musahaba from you. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Give them a good companionship. Good companionship. The third term here is called al-mu'ayasha, that you have to live with someone.
And this really applies to us being a minority in a predominant non-Muslim community. We're doing muayasha. We're living with them. Like the Prophet and the Muslims lived with the Jews in Medina. So there is muayasha. You know that you have to observe the rights of people, you have to observe the laws of the land, you have all of this called muayasha. But the scholars, they say, provided that your religion is not the price you're paying to do that muayasha. Like a person should not be living in a community of non-Muslims when he is not practicing his religion. That's why shura'at al-hijra. This is why you must do hijra. You must migrate. You must go someplace else where you can practice your deen. But as long as you're staying in that place and you're practicing your deen, your family are practicing their deen, this is called what? Mu'ayasha. With non-Muslims, you can do this. Now you can treat with deal with people and so forth. We come to number four, which is al-mudahana, which is really compromising. You cannot do this. لا مداهنة في الدين أبدا. خاصة في العقيدة. No mudahana. And that's why. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُوا. No mudahana in the matters of عقيدة at all. And we know that they actually later on tried this with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when they found out that his messages is progressing. Umar accepted Islam, Hamza accepted Islam, the numbers are increasing. They actually came to him and they offered him, listen, why don't you worship our idols 1 year and we worship your God, Allah, 1 year? Didn't they make that offer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? They made that offer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah revealed, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. Likewise, no compromise in aqidah, ikhwah. Ya ikhwah, tolerance is not in beliefs. Because unfortunately, this is a mistake that a lot of Muslims do right now. So in order to appease a Christian or a Jew, they go and they compromise the tenets of Islam. Like they would say something that is not correct. Like Jews and Christians will go to paradise. Like something, a statement that is everybody will go to paradise. You worship the same God that we worship. No, they are not worshiping the same God that we worship. They worship a different God. The concept is totally different. The concept that the Jews adopted of God is totally different. The concept of God, Godship in Christianity is totally different. Totally different to Islam. So what do you mean they worship the same God? No, they are not worshiping the same God. The word God is there, but the concept is totally different to what has been revealed in Islam. Add to this, they disbelieve in the messenger, in the messageship of the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it crystal clear. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, by the one in whose hand my soul is, my life is. لَا يَسْمَعُ بِي أَحَدٌ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ. None of those people hear about me. They hear about me. They hear about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they refuse. They refuse to accept me being their messenger. إِلَّا وَكَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. He is a dweller of hell. So here is these brothers, especially when they take on that imamah, imams and all that stuff. Here is these brothers, they go to these functions, the so-called interfaith. So they go to these functions, and what they do, they think to give the message of tolerance to Christian and Jews, you have to simply compromise your beliefs. La. Tolerance is not in beliefs. Tolerance in what? In interacting with them. In dealing with them. I tell you something. You know, we have the Catholic and we call them the Middle Eastern Christians. اللي هم الأقباط والـ Greek Church and all of this. Orthodox. Here you go. The Orthodox and the Western. By the way, they celebrate Christmas on January 7th in the East. Here we celebrate Christmas. They celebrate Christmas when? On the 25th. By the way, one of the that they are not supposed to congratulate one another. So they ban, it's exactly like Sunnah and what? The birthday of the Prophet, according to the Muslims, according to the Sunni Muslims. Of course, we don't even know when he was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a fake. When? What day? The 12th. With Shia, do you know when? Do you know when? The 17th. It's almost identical. Identical. The Shia, they went with the 17th. The birthday, that's the day that they adopt for the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even them, within their traditions, they have this, that a person who does not believe in what you believe in, you should not what? You should not compromise. Listen, an Orthodox Christian believes that a Muslim is going to be thrown in hell. They believe that. Why? Because he does not accept Jesus to be his what? Savior. They believe this. They believe that. So now you go and compromise La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah for what? And who said that for you to let them have the perception about Muslims that we are tolerant people, that you have to tolerate your aqidah, your beliefs? Nobody said that. No one said that. We're not supposed to tolerate this at all. وَدُّ لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. Then, subhanAllah, and with this we close today, inshaAllah, al-ayat started talking about al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, al-Makhzumi. And subhanAllah, ulama al-tafsir, ya ikhwa, the scholars of tafsir, they say, مَا أَهَانَ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا فِي قُرْآنِهِ كَمَا أَهَانَ al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never insulted someone from Quraysh. Yani Allah insulted the Pharaoh, Allah insulted the Iblis, of course. Abu Lahab to some extent. But Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, Surah Al-Muddathir. Dharni wa man khalaqtu wahida, wa ja'altu lahu malam mamduda. وبنين شهودا ومهدت له تمهيدا ثم يطمع أن أزيد كلا إنه كان لآياتنا عنيدا سأرهقه. From 11 I believe المدثر to the 25. Also a lot of the scholars mentioned that these verses, ولا تطع كل حلاف مهين هماز مشاء بنميم مناع للخير معتد أثيم عتل بعد ذلك زنيم أن كان ذا مال وبنين سنسمه على الخرطوم. They said also, إذا تتلى عليه آياتنا قال أساطير الأولين سنسمه على الخرطوم. The scholars, they also say it was revealed about الوليد بن المغيرة. A very interesting character. Who's الوليد بن المغيرة المخزومي? From a tribe called Bani Makhzum. And Bani Makhzum, like Bani Hashim, Bani Umayyah, these are tribes. And we know, ya ikhwa, the tribal system in the Arabia prior to the prophethood, قبل عهد النبوة, is more of a kind of the system of the states now, like the different states, Egypt, Bahrain, it's really your allegiance, your loyalty is to your tribe. He was from Bani Makhzum, and Bani Makhzum is also the tribe of who? Who's the famous person from Bani Makhzum? Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham. Abu Jahl, he's also from Bani Makhzum. Abu Salama, Umm Salama, Bani Makhzum, يعني بطن من بطون العرب. It's called بطن من a belly of the Arabs. It's a strong tribe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this man with a lot of children. He had actually, in some wording, 17 children. Others, they say 10 children. 10 children. ذرني ومن خلقت وحيدا وجعلت له مالا ممدودا وبنين شهودا. He has a lot of sons. Subhanallah, three of them accepted Islam. And this was, you know, when the Prophet ﷺ went to Taif and he was chased out, psychologically abused, physically abused. And then he ended up being shielded by a cloud and the angel of the mountains giving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowance of commanding him. Of course, the permission came from Allah. Murni atbiq alayhim al-akhshabain. Command me, I'll make those two mountains crumble over those people who are al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, al-As ibn Wa'il, Abu Jahl. He said, no. I just want their children to become Muslims. Subhanallah, look at it. Yani this man, here he is, a tyrant, someone who actually manna'il lil-khayr. Yani one way to explain manna'il lil-khayr, that he's stingy, because al-khayr in the Quran was used to refer to money. Or al-khayr, you know, the good things, and above all, believing in Allah. He actually prevented, hindered people from following the truth. But in spite of this, three of his children accepted Islam. Top of the list was who? Who's number one? Sayfullah al-Maslul, the sword of Allah. Khalid ibn al-Walid. Al-Walid ibn al-Walid. That's why his title, Aba al-Walid. Afaragta ya Aba al-Walid. Huwada al-Mughira ibn Shu'ba. And Hisham ibn al-Walid. Three of his sons accepted Islam. What is his story? He was known to be extremely eloquent, extremely wealthy, has a lot of children, and kana, even in that chapter, and kana dha malin wa banin. They said his wealth expanded all the way until Taif, from Mecca to Taif. He had a lot of slaves. Fi Mustadrak al-Hakim, أثر عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما that one day الوليد بن المغيرة heard the Quran being recited, and he is the one who made that statement upon hearing the Quran, the famous statement which the people use sometimes, إن له لحلاوة وإن عليه لطلاوة وإن أعلاه لمثمر وَإِنَّ أَسْفَلَهُ لَمُغْدِقْ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَعْلُوا وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ. In reference to what? The Quran. Indeed, the Quran has what? Has a sweetness. In actually, the one who said that statement was who? Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. Indeed, the Quran has a sweetness and has a charm. Very charming. وَإِنَّ أَعْلَاهُ لَمُثْمِرْ. The highest part of it is fruitful. And the lowest part of it gushes forth with bounties. وَإِنَّ أَسْفَلَهُ لَمُثْمِرٌ. And it dominates. The Quran dominates. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَعْلُوا وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ. And it cannot be dominated by anything. And it crushes everything that comes beneath it. What did he hear exactly? We have three different accounts. The most famous of them all is Fussilat. The people of Quraysh said, you are our leader or one of our leaders. Why didn't you go and talk to Muhammad? Maybe he will stop separating us, you know, family members and so forth. فهي went and he said, in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فقال له يا ابن أخي, you are separating the father from the son and the son from the father. You are separating the husband from the wife. You're disrupting our social system, our societal norms. You're causing a lot of harm to us. If you're looking to be a king, ملكناك, you will make you a king. If you're trying to be a rich person, I will take the leader, the responsibility of collecting money for you. We'll make you our wealthiest person. If you want, شوف الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, والله, all of this, he did not say a word. Imagine, All of this. ما قال شيء. And then at the end he said, أفرغت يا أبا الوليد. شوف الأدب صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنك لعلى خلق عظيم. Did you finish يا أبا الوليد؟ And he called him with his what? With the nickname. الوليد, the one who accepted Islam, was one of the, was older than Khalid. And then he started reciting what? فصلت. حاميم. الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم answered him with these verses. حاميم. تنزيل من الرحمن الرحيم. كتاب فصلت آياته قرآنا عربيا لقوم يعلمون بشيرا ونذيرا فأعرض أكثرهم فهم لا يسمعون وقالوا قلوبنا في أكنة مما تدعونا إليه وفي آذاننا وقر. Very close to almost 12-13 verses. But at the end what? فإن أعرضوا فقل أنذرتكم صاعقة مثل صاعقة عاد وثمود. قل حسبك. If they still persist and insist on not accepting your message after all of this, tell them I'm warning you a storm like the storm that destroyed the two Arab tribes, really, عاد and ثمود. So الوليد ابن المغيرة said, stop. And he went back, rushing to Quraysh when they saw him approaching them. You know, the crowd said, قالوا, well, by Allah, he came back with a different face than the face he went with. والله لقد أتاكم بغير الوجه الذي ذهب به. So they say he heard this. The other transmitted account, which shows that what he heard, that he heard Surah غافر حاميم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز العليم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. The third transmitted account that he heard, time is finished, we're gonna finish this inshallah, that he heard Surah An-Nahl. Especially this verse attracted him so much. What verse? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. I came across a very short clip, subhanAllah, just to show you how the Christians, a Christian guy who is trying to يعني, prove that the Quran has flaws. يعني. And one of the things that he mentioned, which is very interesting, which can be sold easily to a Muslim if he doesn't know the science of the Quran, that those three chapters in the sequence of revelation, we said Fussilat, Ghafir, and An-Nahl, right? Right? Remember, what was the sequence of the revelation of the chapter that I'm explaining here? Number three, Wal-Muddathir, the one that actually, the consensus that this is Al-Walid, is number two. But look at the sequence now of these three chapters. 61, 62, 63. So what the guy is trying to say, look at the Muslims. They say the Quran here is insulting Al-Walid because he heard that Quran. You getting it? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. The stuff that he heard was revealed 61, 62, 63. But meanwhile, the reference to him hearing the Quran was revealed in chapter what? 2 and 3. You see how the Quran is? But this very easy can be refuted. How? The Quran, ya ikhwa, the chapters were not revealed all at once. These names were later on applied. Verses were revealed. Certain verses. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ could have been revealed before al-Muddathir. But later on it was put what? In an-Nahl. which is the predominant or the overwhelming majority of the verses, were revealed in that sequence. But like Surah An-Nisa, Ayatul Kalala, there is a verse called Ayatul Kalala. What is Ayatul Kalala? Which is the last verse in Surah An-Nisa. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ وَيَسْتَفْتُونَكَ فِي الْكَلَالَةِ قُلِ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ فِيهِنْ. Where should I put this, Ya Jibreel? Put it at the very end of Surah An-Nisa. So, the sequence of the verses is different to the sequence of what? But this can be solved easily, and that's why, ikhwa, understanding the Quran is a key. Because that can be solved so easy to people who don't know the science of the Quran, ulum al-Quran, how the Quran was revealed, how the Quran was compiled, how these names were given to the verses, were given to the chapters, and so forth. We go back to the author here, so we finish. In any rate, what we know that he heard the Quran and he expressed this attitude towards the Quran. So a rumor spread in Mecca that Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira accepted Islam. Or he is more what? Into what? Inclined to it. Now for them this is dangerous. A man with the caliber of Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, one of the wealthiest, one of the strongest people, and he's very eloquent too. This is troubling. Especially that the season of Hajj was approaching, meaning the Arabs, all of the Arab tribes are coming to Mecca now to perform their Hajj, and the word is going to get around. Everybody knows who's Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira is, that he accepted Islam. So, subhanAllah, ikhwa, Abu Jahl, he said, let me handle him. That's the worst thing about having a bad friend, you know. Like he got Abu Talib in trouble at the bed of death. Say, La ilaha illallah. Abu Jahl said, no, don't say it. Don't say it. So he went to Al-Walid. Knock, knock, knock. And he sat out there. And then he acted like he's very upset with him. Shall I offer you something? No. Well, some wine, of course. No. So he said, what's wrong with you? Why are you, he's his tribesman. Remember, Abu Jahl is from Bani Makhzum too. He said, listen, Ashiratuka, your tribe are very upset with you. They say that you go to Muhammad and Abu Bakr to sit around them in order to give you some money. So they are actually going around and collecting some money for you to help you financially. So he got very upset. He said, by Allah, you know, I am the wealthiest. I'm the wealthiest in Mecca. Why do you say this? He said, then say something about the Quran, about Muhammad, that is, everybody is going to hear. Like they heard about that statement that you made. You have to say something equal to it, which identifies your position right away. So he said, okay, let me think about it. Let me see what I'm going to say. And this is what is meant. ذرني ومن خلقت وحيدا وجعلت له مالا ممدودا وبنين شهودا ومهدت له تمهيدا ثم يطمع أن أزيد إن كلا إنه كان لآياتنا عنيدا سأرهقه صعودا. Look. إنه فكر وقدر ولا بنسي. Fakr, he deliberated. Like, what I'm going to say about the Quran? وقدر, and he, ثم قتل كيف قدر, and cursed. قتل يعني cursed. قتل الإنسان ما أكفره. قتل أي لعن. Cursed. And he cursed. ثم قتل كيف قدر. ثم قتل كيف قدر. He already established in his mind what he will say. Then he came out to the leaders of Mecca sitting in the Kaaba, and they are talking about what should we say about Muhammad that become our identical statement that we say about him. If people ask us about who he is, we say that. Some of them said, let's say that he is a poet, شاعر يعني, that he is possessed by jinni, that he is crazy, like we mentioned before. Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, right away, he said, guys, all that stuff is incorrect. Have you ever seen Muhammad being touched by a jinni that he's jumping up and down? خُنِقَ بِالْجِنِ. They said no. طب, you're saying that he's a poet. By Allah, you know that he doesn't read or write. How is he going to do poet when he doesn't read and write? He never wrote something before. What is the third one? Liar? Come on. He's known to be Sadiq al-Amin, the trustworthy, the truth teller, the teller of the hidayah. Here is what you should say. Here is what you should say. He separates husband and wives, daughters, sons from fathers. He separates those who love one another. This is called what? Sorcery. He throws spells on people that he ends up what? Separating those who love one another. إنه فكر وقدر ثم قتل كيف قدر ثم قتل كيف قدر ثم نظر ثم عبس وبصر ثم أدبر واستكبر فقال إن هذا إلا سحر يؤثر. He said, let's say that he is a magician. إن هذا إلا قول البشر. These verses also in Surah Noon والقلم, according to the scholars, were revealed regarding this man, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, ikhwa, subhanallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ. We're going to brand him on his nose. And وَمَاتَ هَذَا الرَّجُلْ كَافِرًا. He was, he died as a kafir. Subhanallah. So the verses were talking about him. But see, ikhwa, this applies to everybody who has the attributes or the character of this man. ولذلك, therefore, don't ever try to impersonalize the Quran. If this is proper English, impersonalize, that you turn the Quran into persons, because then everything would, these verses would die with the death of Al-Walid. There is no usage for it. La, there is no usage for it. Look, I'll give you a beautiful explanation to this. ضرب الله مثل الذين آمنوا امرأة للذين كفروا امرأة نوح وامرأة لوط كانت تحت عبدين من عبادنا الصالحين. Allah has set a parable for those who disbelieve, the wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut. They were wives to two prophets. What they ended up doing? What? Disbelieved. فخانتهما. What are their names? It's not important. But the message here that you can be the holiest, you can be the most righteous, but your wife is what? Will not believe. That's the message. And the fact that you're being the righteous person, this is not going to help her. This is the message. This is not exclusive to Nuh and Lut and their wives. That's all inclusive. That's the message that is being, that is why their names were not mentioned. We don't know what their names, the Quran did not say their names. طيب, look at the second one. Three examples here. Look at the second one. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنِّ. And Allah said, a parable, the wife of the field. What's her name? We know that the Sunnah indicated her name, but Allah did not say it. Asiya. Huh? Again, the message here that your husband can be as tyrant as he stands up and says, I'm the Lord, I'm the High Highness Lord, I'm Rabbukum al-A'la, but your wife can be what? Muslima. Oh, and she's still going to go to Jannah. And his evil does not what? لا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. That's the message. So it's not personal. This would apply to everybody. Look at the third example, the third parable. Look, what? What is the third parable? وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ. Why her name and her father's name? Because she will do something that no other women will do. Maryam, the daughter of Imran, she will do something that will never occur anymore in the history. What? She's going to come and say, I'm pregnant, but no man touch me. To tell you that this is personal to who? So no lady comes later on, huh, and tells her, by the way, brothers, I'm pregnant. How? No man touch me. La. This was what? Wa Maryam abnata Imran. What I'm trying to say, even though the verses talks about al-Walid, and we know that from the seerah, what the man did, but we should not, and this is the rule of tafsir which we know, لَيْسَ الْعِبْرَةِ بِخُصُوصِ السَّبَبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْعِبْرَةِ بِعُمُومِ اللَّفْظِ. We understand the Quran based on the general meanings of the words, not based on the specific reason or the specific persons in which the Quran was revealed. But we know these things and we study them because it becomes a driving criteria for us to understand the verses. That anyone who would have the attribute of Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, this would apply to him. Jazakum Allahu khaira, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.